Welcome to the Human and Technology Podcast. This podcast is for anyone who develops, distributes, or uses technology. For all those who always have the feeling that technology overwhelms or dominates them. For everyone who wants to know how to deal with technology in everyday life. For anyone who wants to understand what technology does to us and how we can get our lives back. This podcast is for those who want to make technology sexy. All the product developers, designers, UX, UI professionals, product managers, CTOs, and CEOs. And it is for you. My name is Dr. Peter Ryska. My friends call me Dr. Peter. I am your host, and I am happy that you are here. This is the first episode of the Human Technology Podcast. I am recording and publishing in the new year in 2022. And I wish all of you, all of my listeners, a happy, healthy, successful new year. I'm planning to travel to the CES, so the next episode or the next episodes will be on the CES. And the only hurdle I have to pass, the only bottleneck, is the corona test that I need to pass this evening. If it will be positive, it will be a negative thing for me because I will not be able to travel. But I'm optimistic that it will be a negative, so it will be a positive for me, and I will be able to travel. And for this very first episode of this year, I have selected something different. It is on artificial intelligence in the car, or not only in the car, it is around the car, for the car, in mobility. So a couple of thoughts on this one, and I hope you like it. Those of you that are connected with me for a longer time know that I don't like the term artificial intelligence, AI, because I believe that artificial and intelligent, they just don't go together. They don't belong together. For me, intelligence is always linked to life. So it's always natural. It's never artificial. And better terms are machine learning or self-learning software, learning software, self-improving software. So there are a few terms out there that are used every now and then that I find much better, that meet the phenomenon far, far better. But since the term artificial intelligence is used by almost everyone in the industry and the technology, and even outside, even the public knows this term artificial intelligence, so it is reality. And this is why I'm using this as well in this context here, so to not confuse anyone and to be consistent with the rest of the world. Artificial intelligence is there. It is a reality. And there's a phenomenon called singularity, which means that the artificial intelligence is more intelligent than humans are, and machines take over. Machines build new machines, and artificial intelligence builds new intelligence. And for me, this is called singularity, and I think this is pretty far away, and I even doubt that it will ever come. Nevertheless, very often when we interact with artificial intelligence, for example, with a chatbot or with a voice recognition system, we do not really know, are we communicating with a human or are we communicating with a machine? And this makes us feel a little unsecure, unsafe, not very well. And The situation is called the Uncanny Valley. It gets creepy in the Uncanny Valley, and that's what it's for. I mean, on one end, you will have an interaction where you clearly know I'm interacting with a machine. For example, if you go to an ATM, or if you type into your computer, if you interact with your smartphone, I mean, you know it's a machine. And then there is a situation when you are absolutely sure that you're interacting with a human. I'm talking to a person, I'm writing, I'm texting with a person. And in between these two, I mean, and the usual thing is that the better the machine gets, the more human it gets, the better the user experience is. So if it is really machine-like behavior and very, very bulky, then we do not feel very well. And then we feel better if it gets more humane, if it's more like a human-style interaction. But then there is this point when we are not really sure, is this human or is this not human? And this is called the Uncanny Valley. And we feel unsafe, unsecure, we do not feel good, it's creepy if we are not really sure, is this a human or is this a machine I'm talking to? And once we are through the Uncanny Valley, so if we improve the artificial intelligence so that every user thinks I am interacting with the human, meaning this is meaning that the Turing test was passed. The Turing test is a test where humans have to decide, do I interact with a machine or do I interact with a human? And if we say yes, this is a human, but it is in fact a machine, then the Turing test is passed. So short before the Turing test is passed, we have this Uncanny Valley. And we need to avoid this because this in the Uncanny Valley, that's the worst case scenario for user experience. So if we don't feel well, we have this negative experience. So for me, artificial intelligence applications need to be clearly marked as substitute for intelligence, or intelligence, artificial intelligence fed, or something like this. There's a clear mark saying, hey, this is artificial intelligence you're talking to now. And then it's okay. Then we avoid the Uncanny Valley. We will avoid the singularity that may come up one day. We need to clearly state, hey, this is artificial intelligence. A few words before we get into the automotive applications of AI is how does it work in general? So there is an algorithm. It's a piece of software, and this algorithm is fed with data. It receives data from the outside. And the algorithm changes itself based on the data, and with that, it changes the feedback, the output. It delivers different results because it changed itself. And the idea is that I put a lot of data into such an algorithm, and if it is a fresh algorithm, it will react in one way. And if I do this for a year or two and still use it and it's getting used to me, then it will behave differently. So one example are these high-end voice recognition systems you find in some cars today. When you start talking to them, they have a pretty good recognition rate, but they get better over time because they learn your accent, they learn the way you speak, but they also learn your behaviors and your preferences. And so these algorithms get better over time. And this is a typical thing for artificial intelligence. The big problem is that the results of an artificial intelligence are heavily influenced, are heavily biased, have heavily distorted based on the data you use to feed the AI. And this is one of the big problems. I will come back to that one a little later. But this is a big, big problem that you have. You don't know what this software algorithm is doing with the data and whether it is a good or bad set of data. by means of learning for the software. All right, let's go into the automotive world, applications of artificial intelligence in the automotive world. There are basically two locations where artificial intelligence can be active. One is in or around the vehicle. So you have this mobility artifact, and directly connected to that, there are a couple of applications, and we will talk about a few of them. And then there is the ecosystem around the vehicle. And I mean, vehicles have always required certain amounts of infrastructure around them. So if you have a car, you need a road, you need a gas station, you need workshops to repair your car, you need traffic signs and infrastructure. And so road furniture, all this is required to run a vehicle. And this goes into the digital space today, and then it's called the ecosystem. So I'm having an app to control my car. I have a web portal. I have data access points. And so this is the ecosystem, the digital data ecosystem around the vehicle. And so these are the two locations, in the artifact or around the artifact, and in the mobility system. Artificial intelligence can perform basically three tasks. The first one is sensing. So it can sense the data, it can record data, collect information, it can combine it, it can interpret it. So it is basically the first thing in information processing thing is always getting the data together, collecting the data. And this is what artificial intelligence can support. The second thing AI can do is thinking. For example, predicting problems with the vehicle, predicting problems with traffic, predicting problems with the driver, with him or her, is she or is he healthy in the car, or is he fit or vigilant, or so, yeah, this thinking, prediction of problems, seeing problems, analyzing problems, this is what an AI can do. And the third thing an artificial intelligence can do is taking action, doing things, supporting the driver, decision-making, route finding, adapting the driving behavior to preferences of the driver, and then taking over distinctive driving activities. Or that is the very end of the idea. One of the big hopes in automated driving is artificial intelligence, or the other way around. One of the big planned application areas and traffic of artificial intelligence is autonomous driving. And then the artificial intelligence takes over the entire driving activities. So let's go into the first part, the applications in the vehicle. So what can we do in the vehicle? And being an HMI person, HMI punk, HMI expert, HMI guru, human-machine interfaces, the relationship between humans and machines, between cars and drivers, that is in one of my professional focuses. And so the HMI adaption, the personalization of the vehicle, the improvement of user experience, of usability, and at the very end, higher safety and security, that is a role that artificial intelligence can play. How does it work? I said that you need certain data input, and then what are the parameters in this data that you need as an input for an artificial intelligence? So a couple of the data is on the driver, and there are constant parameters like age, like driving experience, like size of the driver. So is it a very, very small person, or is it a very tall person? That has an influence, for example, on the viewing angle and on the inter ergonomics of the vehicle. or the sitting position, the seating position in a car. So all this is data, constant parameters. They do not change short term on a driver. And there are more flexible changing parameters on drivers like level of fatigue, state of health, vigilance, alertness, maybe even the level of aggression. All that goes into the artificial intelligence as flexible parameters related to the driver. Other parameters are the driving behavior. Do we have a safe driver, an experienced driver, or an unsafe driver? Then it's the driving situation with all its parameters like traffic density. Do I drive in an urban or rural area? What type of road is it? Is it a minor road or is it a highway? Or am I alone in the car? Do I drive as a couple or do I drive in a group, as a family? My personal experience in this one is when I'm alone in the car, I use the voice recognition far more often because I just do it and then it's easy and fast. But if I'm in the car with someone else, maybe a person I don't know too well, then I don't do this because it may be, or it will be embarrassing if the car doesn't understand me. Now, I say driving destination, Main Street 51. And the car is asking back, what did you say? I didn't understand you. I mean, that's embarrassing, right? And so you won't do that when you are with a group in the car, but maybe you just do it when you are alone in the car. Then beyond the driving situation, we have all the external conditions like weather, like time of day, like lighting conditions. Do I have a sunset or is it bright outside or is it at night? All this is in there. And then we have the vehicle use cases that go into the algorithm. For example, am I driving to work? Am I commuting? Am I driving to the office? Is it a more leisure, fun driving thing? Am I driving on Highway 1 just to have this driving experience? Or am I driving downtown LA to drive to a shop? Is it a professional or private driving? So do I have a taxi or a Uber driver? Or do I have a delivery truck that I'm driving? So do I transport goods? So all these are use cases for the car that will be fed into the artificial intelligence. And at the end of the day, adapt the entire car, adapt the HMI to the situation, to the driver, to the contexts we are in. And the second question related to that is, what are the parameters we can change? What can we adapt in there? And so the main thing is the functionality. What is offered to a driver? What is offered when? And what is offered with what priority? When, for example, when I have manual driving and I'm in an unknown traffic situation, then probably the phone will not be offered. Or a very old example without any artificial intelligence, and that's 20 years old. When you have a TV tuner in your car and you can watch TV, that TV picture is only presented when the car is standing, when it's not driving. And when you drive, then the screen is turned off for safety reasons. And you can only hear the sound of the TV. So, I mean, this is functionality that is adapted based on, for example, the driving situation or the driver condition or whatever parameter you may take into account. The second parameter you can adapt is the HMI structure, the interaction design. For example, the number of options in a single menu. And what can I do in a certain situation? Or Is it more linear process? Is it more parallel process that I'm taken through in a certain interaction situation? And the third part you can influence is the entire graphic design, screen design, all the colors, the contrasts, the different fonts. So for example, if the car realizes, I will be 60 in a few years, meaning I get a bit farsighted. And so if the car knows that I'm in there and it's getting dark, I'm having problem reading smaller fonts. So it will select, based on an artificial intelligence algorithm, a larger font for me and present it. It may not look as beautiful anymore, but I can still read it. And that is a typical example. The same goes for colors and then contrasts on the HMI and the entire interaction devices. One area where there is a lot of hope for artificial intelligence is automated driving. So the artificial intelligence algorithm will learn a lot about driving behavior, will learn a lot about traffic situations, will learn to analyze it so that automated driving gets easier, gets safer, gets better, gets smoother. And the problem is the mastering of the complexity. So very often you are facing unusual or rare traffic situations. And this is one of the big problems. I'm spoiling here a bit about when I will talk about the problems a little later. But these rare traffic situations, they are a bottleneck because they don't happen too often. But artificial intelligence needs a lot of data to learn, and these rare and unusual traffic situations, we may face quite some problems until we solve that with AI. Another thing in automated driving is optimizing the route, for example, for shared taxis. So if I have three people on board and there are two more and I have five, that I will collect at different locations and I will drop them all at different locations, and then I can use an AI algorithm. Maybe that one will also tell me, there is a 90% chance that two more will enter your shared taxi, your shuttle bus. So be prepared for that. And I mean, all this is possible with an artificial intelligence. You can optimize the driving behavior in automated driving. So we all have different levels of acceptance, for example, on speed, on lateral G forces that we have, basically meaning how fast do we drive around curves or corners, and we have the distances, for example, how much space do you need around the car to feel safe and to feel well, and this differs. So I'm a pretty fast driver, and I don't need too much space around me, and I know that there are others that are not as fast and that they need more space around their car to feel good. So that is also something that an automated driving procedure needs to consider. Yeah, and then at the last point here is the monitoring of the driver. So we need to ensure the correct behavior depending on the level of automation that a vehicle has. So if we automate on level zero, meaning there is no automation, the driver needs to be fully active all the time. And on level three, he or she is allowed to pull him or herself out of the driving loop and do something, but he or she needs to be ready to return within a short time frame. And controlling that, monitoring the driver, surveilling the driver and saying, hey, you need to do something different. You are not ready here for level two. You are out of the control loop. Please remain in the loop and control the car driving for you. So this is also something where I see applications of artificial intelligence. And then there are areas like predictive maintenance, detecting wear, informing the driver, booking appointments in the workshop, ordering parts. And this is also an area where artificial intelligence will play a strong role in vehicles in the near future. I have NDAs, non-disclosure agreements with all my clients, so I'm not allowed to talk about concrete projects, but There is one funded by the German government where I am part of. It's called the Kali Project, and it is on artificial intelligence in cars. And there are three big work packages, and two of them are the ones I've just discussed. One is the HMI adjustment, and how can I adapt an HMI to based on artificial intelligence to a driver, to a situation, to a context. And how can I get the level compliant behavior? And the third part of that project is fighting motion sickness in automated cars. This is, I won't talk anymore about this one, but this is the third work package that we have in this project funded by the German government. So let's move on to the applications in the mobility ecosystem that we have. What is the use for this? What is the benefit that we can get out of artificial intelligence in this context? So one is sustainability of mobility, sustainable mobility. How can we optimize traffic flows? How can we optimize energy consumption? I mean, this is a core point. Another one is the human-centric mobility. Not technology-centered, not sustainability-centered, but it's human-centered. So we have humans with certain needs, with mobility needs, with abilities, with capabilities. And so we need to turn mobility human-centric, and we can use artificial intelligence for that one. Resilient mobility. So if a train fails, if a bus doesn't come, if my car breaks down, how can I remain mobile? How can I keep mobility up and alive? And then last but not least, forecasting and solving traffic problems as traffic jams that we're having there. Artificial intelligence can be involved in the planning of transport tasks like long-term and short-term transportation, planning of routes, coordination between different modes. All that is possible. Then an area where artificial intelligence faces, from my point of view, a big application area is multimodal transports, meaning the combination of different transport modes. So today I have different apps for my public transport in Stuttgart and one for public transport in Berlin. Then I have an app for my car, for car sharing cars, for scooters, for bicycles. And these apps don't work with each other. So they're not anyhow coordinated. And so in the future, I can foresee one single app with artificial intelligence combining all the possibilities, all of that, depending on parameters like the user, the time of day, the destination, the purpose of the trip. Do I need to transport something or not? Or the weather, for example. Yeah, if it's a rainy day, it may not be the best suggestion to take a sharing bicycle. So maybe the underground would be better in that case. And calculating all of that and creating the best possible combination of means of transport to determine the best route, to find the best solution for a single user, that is a huge area where I see applications of artificial intelligence. Then everything around fleet management, transport fleets, car sharing providers, for example, they use artificial intelligence to place the cars into the right locations. Where and when is a car needed do I have a chance to put one there? Then the optimization of charging strategies for electric vehicles. I was over the New Year's Eve, I was up in Berlin, and that's from the Stuttgart area where I am at the moment. It's about a 5.5 hours drive, and I usually drive about half the distance, then I fuel my car up, I add another 500 kilometers of distance into my car, And then I continue driving. And so I end up with 5.5 hours. And this is basically not possible with electric vehicles today. So you have longer charging times. Maybe you need to charge more than once on a 5 or 6 or 7 hours drive. And so all the driving behavior, the route planning, all the charging stations, all that shall be handled with an artificial intelligence algorithm. So for the ride from Stuttgart to Berlin, it can take basically three different routes. And if the data says that there is no charging stations on the route via Nuremberg, then I will drive through Erfurt and we'll find an open charging station there. So the creation of a route plan and a loading plan, that is also AI-based. Then the entire control of the charging infrastructure, that's more from a service point of view, service provider point of view. Where are they located? Where are the positions of the charging stations? What is the number? How many do I need here and there? Also a thing that you can solve with that. And then the application that do not circle around a single person or single trip or a single car, but applications that control the entire transportation system. For example, the control and the distribution of traffic. So if I know that I already sent three cars on a certain route, and I know there will probably be a traffic jam soon, I can send another 10 cars on different routes around this traffic jam and reduce the entire amount of traffic jams or the time spent in traffic jams significantly. You can send users to different modes of transport and on different routes and saying, hey, the underground is completely full. How about taking a bicycle? And by the way, it will be a nice exercise. You haven't done any in the past week. And so you can minimize pollution, you can minimize traffic jams, and you can minimize travel times that you have. A few open points that we need to consider when using artificial intelligence in vehicles. In theory, the algorithm itself, the car software, is not too much of a problem. There are open source algorithms, and you can use that, you can adapt it. And the big problem here is the data that you need to feed the artificial intelligence. You can get awfully wrong results if you feed biased data, if you feed distorted data into an algorithm. And then this algorithm then believes it's doing its best job, but at the end of the day, it's pretty much stupid what this algorithm is doing because it was fed with the wrong data. Then it is the programming of the right algorithm, the adaption of specific algorithm, and then it is connected to a business model. In some of the applications, it's not really clear. I mean, the advantages and then the use cases, they're all clear. But the question is there a business model behind this, or am I just wasting time and money? And the third open point in using AI in vehicles, from my point of view, is the major point. That is that the algorithm itself, the way it develops, cannot be predicted, meaning it cannot be tested. And the automotive industry is producing very reliable products. And one of the reasons is everything is highly tested under different conditions. But if you test an artificial intelligence algorithm, you would change the algorithm because it would react on your testing procedure. And then it will deliver different results. And so you cannot predict these results. And I mean, there are ways out of this. There is a discussion in this, but I still see this as a major problem that we have with artificial intelligence. We are at the very beginning of the development. Everything connected with AI, particularly AI in vehicles, around vehicles, and in mobility ecosystems. There are more applications than we realize out there, but it is still a long way to go until we will have them beneficial in and around vehicles. Okay, at the very end, a few points to summarize this episode. Artificial intelligence is on the way to play a crucial role in the areas of cars and mobility. Applications in the vehicle are for the driver, for the route, and the car. They are under development. Some of them are realized in the car, and there's a lot more in the development pipeline. Applications to control the entire traffic system are under development, and a few of them are already active. They're working. And some applications have already been implemented, but it will take many, many, many years to fully realize the entire potential of artificial intelligence in and around cars. So if you liked this podcast, if you like the Human Technology Podcast, why not recommending it to one or two other persons in your network? The more people listen to it, the more get information out of this. This will make me very happy, and it will bring, it will rank the podcast itself much higher on the respective platforms, which again will allow more people to listen to me and to learn and to take away things on the relationship between humans and technology. That's it for today. Thank you for spending time with me. I hope you were able to take something with you and do something for yourself that will be forever. For an ongoing exchange, you will find me on LinkedIn and on my websites, beta-rusker.com and beyond-hmi.de. Write me an email on the podcast at beyond-hmi.de. Tune in next time. Take care and stay healthy.